الحمد لله وكفى وسلام على عباده الذين اصطفى اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى ال سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى ال سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم. When we confine ourselves to the masjid and cut ourselves off from the outside world, it creates an environment when a person is enables themselves to reconnect themselves with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And that's a powerful experience. A person begins to see things differently. They begin to recover their own identity and who they are. They begin to reinvigorate within themselves a desire to become closer to Allah, a desire to do good, a desire to seek Jannah, a desire to abstain from Jahannam. All in all, a person begins to feel like a Muslim again. But then what happens is that we have to leave the artificial environment that we create. La rahmaniyata fil Islam. There is no monkhood or monasticism in Islam. So it's not practical, for example, a person just to stay in the masjid for the rest of their life, for the vast majority of individuals. We have to leave the i'tikaf. We have to go back into the rest of the world. And when that happens, a person begins to think, a person ponders, that how do I maintain whatever small advances or whatever state of mind that a person acquires when they had spent a time or a period of time that was devoted to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala azza wa jalla. And the secret to the maintenance of a state, and not only do you want to maintain it, but you want to take that momentum and you want to grow it, is a couple of things. Number one, a person should keep a connection with the masjid. The masjid really has to be a part of our daily lives. I mean, for most Muslim Americans, their life should revolve around three things. That they stay in the house as much as possible, they go to work and they do their work, they come back to their home, and then to the masjid. That's a triangle. And you do that every single day. There's not really much of a reason to do anything beyond that except what is zarurah. Once in a while you can go and you get your groceries. Once in a while, yes, zarurah also includes, for example, if you need to take your kids to the park or something like that. But by and large, the large majority of a person's life should just revolve around this triangle. And outside of this, a person should limit as much time as they spend outside the home to the masjid. Like, the masjid is our entertainment. People like to say that the place of the woman is at home. And some women find that insulting. Someone asked Louis Farrakhan this question. So do you really say that if you know Louis, he's very, this Nation of Islam, he's a very smooth talker. He said, and so they asked him, like, you know, is the place of a woman at home? He said, the base of a woman is in the house, but her place is wherever her, you know, capabilities will take her. The reality is, yes, the place of the woman is in the house. وَقَرْنَا فِي بُيُوتِكُنْ. But it's not only the place of the woman, it's also the place of the man. وَجَعَلَ لَكُم مِّن بُيُوتِكُمْ سَكَنًا. The place of sukoon should really be our house. And we need to invest in our... So one place is we should frequent the masjid. But the second thing is that we should go into our house environments and make our homes places of sukoon. I mean, it's so unfortunate that the one place that people should be able to go to recharge, to rejuvenate, to feel alive again. You know, you get drained when you're at work. You have problems when you're at work. And then people are scared to come home because then they don't know what else they're going to face. We have to fill our houses with love. We have to fill our houses with hilm. We have to fill our houses with laughter. It's important to laugh. It's important to laugh as well with your family. And you just spend time with them. And you build a bond. It doesn't have to be preachy. It doesn't have to be, you know, like austere and stern and stuffing Islam down everyone's throat. This is Islam. Muhammad said, oh, you know, just live in a very positive way. It's not giving lectures to your kids about how terrible they are and criticizing them all the time. Shower them with compliments and teach them. Teaching a person's child is a full-time job in and of itself, especially in this country. So spend time with them. Don't get angry for them not being what you want them to be, but rather show them the way or tell them exactly and teach them that, bete, this is how you do this and this is what you should do. And don't get mad when they fail. You say, no, I know it's really hard. Come on, we'll try again. And give your family members as many chances as you want Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to give you in your life. That's how you create an environment at home. People hate to be home. Unfortunately, people hate to be home. They get itchy. Let's go do something. Outside, when you step outside the house, there's so much chance for sinning. There's so much chance for facade. If you're trying to be a true mu'min, you're running counter to the whole society is running in the ma'asiyah of Allah. It's like the current is running one way. And you said that, no, I'm going to go outside and I'm going to walk the other way. How could that be comfortable? How could that be easy? لا يستوي أصحاب النار وأصحاب الجنة. The people of Jannah and the people of Jahannam are not equal. They're different. You're going to talk different. You're going to act different. You're going to want different things. You can't be the same. If you're going to be from people of Jannah, you're going to be a stranger. And when you're in a strange place, obviously you feel out of place. Who wants to be in a, you know, like if someone drops you in, someone was telling me that they have this app that you can determine that you can go into some stranger's house and have a meal with them. Why someone would want to do that? I don't know. Why would you want to go sit in someone else's house and eat? You're a stranger. You feel so uncomfortable. In a environment of zulma and kufr and fahsh and indecency and every other adjective that you can think of, how can we feel comfortable? It's like a fish out of water. And the one place where a person is protected, when a person doesn't really have any opportunity to do wrong things, then people feel like they don't want to stay home. They feel like it's a jail. They should feel like, I'm just saying it how it is that people feel like a jail. They feel like, oh, we want to do something. And the reason that many times people feel this way is because people are empty inside. And they're just trying to fill that void with something. And there's nothing to fill it with at home, so you look outside and try to fill it, but you come back home and you're still staring with that same void that you left with. The void that's inside is a spiritual void. And it's not going to get filled outside or in clear water or in any beach or in any Disneyland or anywhere else. It's going to get filled with salah. It's going to get filled with zikr. Is going to get filled with ruju' ila Allah. So one thing I said is that we should try to attend the masjid as much as possible. That's a recharge. Number two, we should make our houses gardens. and try to spend as much time with our house, with our family, investing in our family, building our family, being committed to our families. This is important. If you don't invest in your child, someone else will take them. If you don't show enough love to your child, someone will show them that Jesus loves them. And they're gone. These people, I was listening to a bayan of Maulana Tariq Jamil, and he just said one statement, and just really yesterday morning, it just really stuck with me. He said that, he said there's enough, there's enough hatred in the world, but mahabbate baato, like, spread love. Just spread love. And it starts at home. It's so strange that children find it difficult to say, I love you, Baba. Brother can't say, I love you, to his sister. Husband finds it sometimes difficult to say, I love you, to the wife. If you say, or the parents say to the kid, they start looking at you like, what happened to you? People don't even say, I love you anymore. People don't kiss their children. They don't pat them on their head. There's not enough hugs to go around. There's not enough kisses to go around. You have to show. I mean, one time a person was sitting with Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, and he kissed, I think, one of his grandchildren, if I'm not mistaken. And there was a person in front of him, and he said, I had 9 or 10 children, I can't remember exactly, and never kissed anyone for one of them. And he said, what can I do if Allah Subhanahu Wa Taala took rahmah out of your heart? You have to have rahmah with them. I mean, at the end of the day, who else do we have? It's just, that's who you have. Everyone on the outside is just on the outside. Outside is just fitna and problems, and it's just your family. You have your parents, you have your kids, you have your wife. That's what it comes down to, ultimately. So invest in them. And in this, there's a protection. In this, there's a protection for a person, and there's a protection for their iman. Because you make a good environment at home, then whatever you take from these type of gatherings, you can take it there and it stays safe. You don't lose it. It's like, someone takes a small plant and brings it home. If the environment is nice and warm, then the plant will grow. The plant will grow. The third thing is, when we come to these type of gatherings, there's so many people making ibadah, people are reading Quran. There's an energy. There's an energy with the group. But you're not always going to have people around you. And it's easier to make zikr in a group than to make zikr by yourself. It's easier to pray salah in jama'ah than to pray by yourself. It's more fun, it's a social event. But the nature of ibadah ultimately is a private thing between you and Allah. And we have to learn to train ourselves to not make ibadah an entertainment. It's not a social affair. And it's hard. It's easy when the shaykh is sitting there making long du'as and this person's crying there, you also feel like crying. It's hard to sit by yourself and try to make a du'a for 15 minutes and also shed some tears. But we have to do this rujoo to ilallah in private. We should get used to making zikr in private. Praying Nawafil Salah in private. Because that's how you start building a relationship with Allah. Sometimes you come to these type of gatherings, yes, you get a little iman rush and a boost. But it's not necessary, like, that relationship with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is still not completely formed. That happens with constant contact. Constant contact. It has to be a presence of mind when a person is praying. That they just need to talk to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Dua is not just sitting in your thing, like this and reading something out of a booklet. You can just be walking around and you're like, Ya Allah, I'm having such a hard time. Just talk to your... Allah's listening. إِنَّهُ سَمِيعٌ قَرِيبٌ مُجِيبُ الدَّعْوَاتِ. He's Samir and He's also close. He knows. Just try it. And when, as a person starts doing this, then they will see that again, the things that we gain from these type of gatherings, they begin to flourish. It's just the first step. But you're not always going to have, it's like the training wheels. You have training wheels, but you have to learn what to take the training wheels off. You can't always rely on an alim. You can't always rely on a sheikh. You can't always rely on having 50 pious people around you. It's just not real life. You have to learn to bike on your own. It's hard in the beginning, but then you get used to it. The next thing that's actually very important is that a person should strive to become muttaqi. I didn't say muti, I said muttaqi. Muti'un is an individual who is obedient to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That's called muti'un. Which means if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells you not to do a sin, then you don't do the sin. That doesn't make you muttaqi. If you don't drink, you're an obedient slave. That's muti'un. If you don't look at wrong things, you don't sin. It's also muttaqi in a way, but you're muti'. The difference between someone who's muti' and a person who's muttaqi is the muti' is the person who avoids sin. The muttaqi is the one who avoids the environment of sin. Meaning you don't set yourself up for failure. You don't draw the battle line that I'm not going to do X, Y, and Z. But you create a circumstance that, no, this could go into this situation, so I'm going to draw the battle line very far away. One thing is coming, so one of my teachers, he said, when we don't go for the salah, we present ourselves in the masjid at the time of salah. It's a very different type of thinking. The time of salah comes maybe hours before the actual salah. And then because the person who sits waiting for a salah, it is as if they are in salah. Or for example, if you come in when the adhan is given, and then you wait the 20 minutes. Otherwise you're rushing in last minute, and you're praying quickly, and then you leave. It's a difference in perspective, and it's a difference in attitude. And the same, this is on the positive side, but the same thing applies on the negative side. If we look at like many of the places that we slip up, you can't expect yourself to be put yourself in that situation and then you're not going to slip up one day magically. You have to avoid the things that are going to take you there. I mean, a simple example: if people have difficulty with internet, then get rid of a smartphone and get a flip phone. Right? You're not looking. You're taking a proactive approach that something you're not going to do, you're not going to end up slipping. If a person, when they go outside, they end up missing their salah, then you say that, no, we're not going to go until we pray our maghrib salah, and after that we can go shopping at Publix. I mean, because a person usually feels shy. Sometimes people feel shy, they don't want to pray outside, there's no masjid close by. So don't set yourself up for a situation. Don't set yourself up for a situation where a failure will ensue. Avoid the environments of sin, the context of sin. You know, if a person feels that they're doing too much ghibah on the phone with another sister, they're always talking to them, and then I really am struggling with ghibah, then don't get off an unlimited plan. Right? Charge yourself 15 cents a minute. You'll see how short your conversation's been. I mean, you have to take some measures. People know what their demons are, and they know where their demons occur, and these are scripts. The nature of sin is that there's a script, and usually the same script repeats itself every single time. A person's not able to say no to an individual when they want to shake their hand, or something like that. So you think ahead of, you don't wait until that's from the opposite gender, you know. So you don't wait till the last minute when you're in that situation and then you say, oh, what do I do? And then you panic, I don't know what to say. You should have a scripted line ahead of time that I'm going to say this or I'm going to do this. So that when you put on the spot that you don't crack. That you don't crack. Whatever it is, I mean, you could just, whether it's salah, whatever it is, you just we have to take a taqwa-based approach rather than just an obedience-based approach. So I guess those are some basic parting advices. That's one thing. The next thing, I guess, before we close, I wanted to really sincerely thank all the people who were involved in organizing this type of event. Obviously, you know, it takes a lot of effort and a lot of sacrifice. There was a khidmat jamaat that did an amazing job. They sacrificed their sleep. They sacrificed their participation so that other people could benefit. So we pray that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grants them all the spiritual benefit and doubles it and puts it into their life. And we pray that as they serve the people who are here, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives them servants in the Akhirah, and that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, in lieu of their service, accepts them and their family. We also want to thank the Masjid administration. It's a really amazing thing about this Masjid that, I mean, you've seen a lot of Masjid and a lot of Masjid politics, and alhamdulillah, this Masjid is really a blessing. I'm so happy to be here. I feel so comfortable here. And there's people who have fiqh for the deen. And, you know, I go and ask, can we do this program? And it's just, there's no red tape. They're like, yeah, do it. It's the work of the deen. You can't put a price tag on something like that. They support people who support this type of event. They allow the type of event to occur. I mean, everything costs. The electricity costs. The toilet paper costs. And they just open up the masjid with open arms to have programs like this, to invite people from all over the country, outside the country even, who are here. So we're very thankful to them for helping to establish a masjid like this so that we have such a beautiful space, really. I mean, we're used to coming from ICC where you're in a basement and you don't have windows, and you know, it's nice to sit in a beautiful masjid and it just helps with the environment. You don't feel tired. You feel like you can read more Quran. You feel like you can do more zikr. So it's really a blessing of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And we pray that those people who helped establish this masjid, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala establishes for them a house in Jannah. And that He makes them inhabit Jannah. And that those who support this masjid and continue to support this masjid, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accepts them and their families. And then, most importantly, we thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for these opportunities that He... It's really, I mean, it's just so shocking. When we mess up with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that should be a cause for punishment. Right? Like, you do something right, bad, the jaza is to get a punishment. So He should actually throw us out of the masjid. But our situation is we spent the whole year or 6 months, like, basically deteriorating. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, oh, why don't you come back to the masjid? It's ajeeb. It's like only Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala could operate like that. That's why He's Allah. That, I mean, if He commanded us, idfa' billati hi ahsan, that reply to other people's evil with goodness, then He shows it. He says, this is how you do it. This is how it's done. He brings us, He cleans us, He recharges us, and we're half afraid that we're going to sully ourselves when we walk again. And already Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows, don't worry, if you dirty yourself, I'll call you back again. Right? So we thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala from the bottom of our heart. And we always pray that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala keeps us under His hilm, and under His ghufran, and under the shade of His mercy. Wa akhiru da'wana anil hamdulillahi rabbil alameen. So I know some people have early flights, so whoever needed to meet, if we can triage those people earlier who have flights out so that we can meet them before they leave. Some housekeeping things before we leave. Let's make sure that we leave the masjid in a solid and beautiful state. And one of the things that is really a bane for masjid administration, usually when they're itikaf programs, is people end up forgetting their things. So really, it becomes it's worrisome because it's an amana, it doesn't belong to them. So you can't, what do? You can't throw it away. So if you're leaving and you happen to forget something in the back of your mind, at least make niyyah that I made that thing halal for the masjid. So if they need to donate it, they can donate it, they can do something. But to the best of your ability, make sure, you know, every sock, every toothbrush, miswak, sleeping bags, whatever it is, make sure that if it came with you, that it should go back with you, inshallah. There's another important thing is that this was, obviously outside the last 10 days of Ramadan, but people should try to make an intention. I'tikafs aren't about a person. I'tikafs are about Allah. And the real I'tikaf is actually coming up. It's the last 10 days. So you might have work, but at least there's the weekends. People should spend time in the masjid. And that's actually a time when there's not events, and there's not talks, and there's nothing to carry you, that you can start to develop and build on this to the next level. That you just spend time with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And it's different when, you know, you're just in your local masjid and you might not know that many people there. It's actually easier to do really i'tikaf the way i'tikaf should be done. I mean, it's not about socializing, it's about ibadah. So take advantage of those last 10 days. Really take advantage. Rasulullah said, I think it comes in the, I don't know if it's in the Shema'in, but he would tie his izar tight basically in the last 10 days. And there's different tashri'ah. That one of that is that he used to completely abstain from conjugal relations with his wife, which would make sense because he was in the masjid. But the other thing is that, you know, when you get ready to run very quickly, people lift up their, you know, thing. Or, you know, he was basically like really exerting himself. He already used to exert himself in ibadah, but imagine when he really gave it a hard push, how much he must have pushed, and how that i'tikaf must have been. So we should also emulate that. For the sisters, the best i'tikaf that they can do is to designate a place in their house. In line, there's also the hadith of Rasulullah saying the best salah of the woman is like in, basically the gist of it is in the most private portion of her home. So designate an area of your home that you say that this is the area that I will be doing i'tikaf in. If you can't do sunnah i'tikaf, then do nafil i'tikaf, meaning that you can go in there, and if you need to come up for some work, you can do some work, and then you can go back in there, you have in and out privileges if you're not doing sunnah i'tikaf. But whether, and whosoever has the time off and the ability, then they should try to make sunnah i'tikaf in your local masjid, wherever it may be. And if they're not able to, then try to exhort someone in the masjid, someone in the community, to make sunnah i'tikaf. I'm telling you, on the back of my mind, I see that sign up sheet for sunnah i'tikaf, and last time I checked, there was no one. Maybe inshallah there's someone who's in full sunnah i'tikaf now, but I'm just thinking that if we don't get someone, the whole community is liable for that. I mean, every masjid that exists in a community, at least one person should have to make the last 10 days as sunnah kifaya. It's like a community responsibility. So if none of us are able to do, then we should try to make sure that there's someone in the community that at least fulfills the responsibility so that everyone is absolved. Take advantage of what's left in Ramadan. Dua, zikr, ibadah, and the like. So may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accept everyone's fasting, everyone's ibadah, and that may He multiply it and keep it for us in the akhirah. وآخر دعوانا أن الحمد لله رب العالمين.